Blog Talk Radio.
Now I grew up down an old dirt road in a town you wouldn't know. My pops picked the place up for $1,500 back in 19...
Fuck that. We're not starting the show like that. We're going to start it how I want to fucking start it. So we'll start it with this.
Fucking what the fucking fuck? Who the fuck? Fuck this fucking. How did you do fucking. Fuck! Fuck!
Certainly illustrates the diversity of the work.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the goofy shit on the walls and the mozzarella sticks?
You mean shenanigans?
No! Oh.
You're talking about shenanigans, right?
Put those away!
Commando unit was sent to prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a maximum security stockade to the Los Angeles underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire the A-Team.
Hey, what's up? It's me. You got the preacher. Let's see if my voice is being heard.
You there?
What's up, boys? Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, I got you loud and clear.
Right on.
So let's go down the line and see who's here with us. Mr. Justin Meether.
Yeah, I'm here.
Zach Howard.
What's up, brother?
It's a pleasure to have you on the show, sir.
Love you, bro.
Love you, too. Let's see, who else we got? Mr. Chief Petty Officer Shannon Allen, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm right here, man.
That's what I'm talking about.
Can you hear me,
and
brother?
I know we got some. I can hear you loud and clear. And last, but certainly not least, well... Definitely not last. Galen Swadley, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, man.
Good, good, good. Who else we got on the line? I got one other person on the line. Who is it?
Maybe not.
You guys are going to make me call out fucking phone numbers.
Hey, Kyle, it's Allison. Who?
Oh, Allison. 7-3 area code. What's that?
713, that's Zach Howard.
I got 2417 area codes. I'm guessing that's Missouri. I know one of those is Swadley.
And the other is...
The other one is...
Swadley,
well,
where are you from?
Seneca, Missouri.
I'm down in Brainerd.
Oh, yeah, not that far away.
Oh, well, I guess we'll be having hand jobs and hand sandwiches after the show then.
Yeah, we're making a connection.
Fuck yeah. As soon as you said 2417 Missouri numbers, I already started making the cock meat sandwich.
Yeah, it was gonna happen. I mean,
yeah, definitely.
Is it mayo or Miracle Whip on your cock meat sandwich?
A mixture of both. You know, we like to mix things up a little bit, keep people guessing.
I think at that point it really doesn't matter.
It doesn't.
I gotta
tell you, I'm a little sad that Stephen Bradley isn't joining us this evening.
No.
But I think he's out fucking working, so we will. Yeah.
Well, he may not be here, but you got a rare occasion to where I'm actually drinking. And this doesn't happen often.
Well,
hey, man, cheers. I'm drinking too.
I'm glad you guys are drinking. It makes me feel less alone. So we got somebody else calling. Let me see who this is. Area code 254. You're on the power.
That'd be me. Herbert Brand. I follow y'all on Facebook and listen to y'all on Facebook all the time.
Oh, well, I appreciate the
support. And I can't hear you on Facebook because Facebook's not letting me on there to listen to y'all. It freezes up. I don't know what the heck the deal is.
Well, fuck, you just got to bring the feels into this shit, don't you?
Yeah, you got to ruin the party, huh?
Yeah.
Fuck, come here, man.
Well, it makes me want to throw the phone out the window.
We got to hug
you
this shit out.
No balls.
Yeah, he's not going to do it.
Probably not. So we got a couple. I do have one thing I want to talk to you about. I went and saw a movie last night, and I don't know if anybody else has fucking seen it yet, but I want to talk about this real quick. I think it's been overshadowed by Star Wars, and it kind of pisses me off. And that would be, now, save your opinions for this gentleman until after I announce it, but Quentin Tarantino's new movie, The Hateful Eight.
You know, I've actually heard really good things on that movie. Tarantino's a dude, but...
What he says, I don't give a fuck about. That's his personal opinion. I care about his art. I've always loved his fucking movies.
Oh, yeah,
I'm
great movie maker. Great movie maker.
Oh, I'm a fan also. I mean, everybody's entitled to their opinion. I don't watch his movies to hear his opinion. I just watch it for all the blood and gore.
Well, I mean, look at Van Gogh. Van Gogh is a fucking shitty person, but he made beautiful art, you know?
And
just because I don't like the guy doesn't mean I don't appreciate
mind.
Yeah, you know,
you
doesn't mean
take,
he can't well, appreciate
you
his work.
Starry Night. Anywhere around the world, and someone knows his art.
Exactly.
Let me tell you.
You know.
Let me tell you.
Same thing with Tarantino. Same thing. Everyone knows his movies.
Let me tell you about this movie. So, I'm a big fan of westerns. Have been ever since I was a kid. In fact, I started out not being a fan of westerns, and then my dad figured out the only way I could stay up and hang out with my old man was if I watched movies with him. And I could pretty much say verbatim every fucking John Wayne movie that's ever fucking been out. And I remember the first one I watched was The Cowboy with John Wayne and Bruce Dern and a whole bunch of other guys. And this show is pretty much what I think everybody expected it to be. It is Reservoir Dogs and a Western mixed into one.
I'm down for that. Reservoir Dogs was my first Tarantino movie, and I fucking loved it. So I'm even more psyched to go see this.
I think it was badass. And like I said before, it got overshadowed, I think, by Star Wars.
And you can say whatever you want. Star Wars was the shit.
Do you want me to go on Star Wars?
I fell asleep
want me
in
to
it.
Do it?
It was the shit, but you fell asleep. Okay.
I fell asleep.
No, I did not.
But I'm a truck driver, so I'm up all the time, so I was tired.
Hey, man, that's why most truckers do meth.
So I read something earlier. Check this out. And this kind of falls under the whole you're a whiny bitch category. George Lucas. Somebody interviewed George Lucas, and
yeah,
he actually
about Star Wars.
Was criticizing. Movie, and I don't even know where to start. I feel like if you sold the franchise for $4 billion, I don't think you have a fucking right to bitch anymore.
Yeah,
no,
I wouldn't fucking totally
he doesn't.
That up.
He doesn't. He sold everything he owned in Star Wars, all the fucking royalty rights and everything.
Even to the toys?
Yep.
He, 100%.
Everything.
All of it. He's,
Disney,
he's done.
Disney said, look,
he,
Disney said everything or nothing, and he said, all right, so here's my price. And Disney was like, done, fucking sold. So they bought all the rights. But he's still going to come out and keep himself relevant, you know what I mean, which is how most celebrities are, like that fat fuck liberal what's-his-nuts with anything. Because he gained notoriety over, like, yeah, Michael Moore. He gained notoriety over, like, two fucking flicks.
Don't say that fucker's name on this show. What a piece of shit.
Yeah,
human.
Exactly. Do not bring that up.
You know what I mean? You got to keep yourself relevant somehow. And so, and with him, his big thing is Star Wars. That's, like, that's really it, you know what I mean? That's his fucking deal. So he's going to come out and say what he thinks about it, because the public also wants to know, you know what I mean? There's also that whole fucking aspect to it as well. So he's going to fucking go out and be like, either I like it or I don't. He doesn't like it. Basically, it was a remake of the very, very fucking original. Honestly, if you look at how everything went down, you know, fucking betrayal of a father, you know, all this sort of shit. You know what I mean? It was really just a knockoff of the first one for the most part. You know what I mean? They're setting it all up that way, and they're just kind of redoing it all over with just different twists and kinks and characters.
Like they did
storyline pretty
Star
much
Trek.
Looks the same.
So how many of you boys saw Star Wars when it first came out?
I'm not gonna lie. I was 11 years before I was even thought of.
Oh fuck!
Let alone born.
I was a year old, so I missed out on that.
I was three.
Wow!
Man, I was born in 91. All right, I'm young.
Here's how much I don't give a shit about Star Wars. Let me just put this into perspective. Okay, so let me tell you where I'm broadcasting from. I'm broadcasting from a place we like to call the 15 Tango Ranch, and it's owned and operated by a very good brother of mine. He may or not be in my chain of command, but you know, really, it doesn't fucking matter. This motherfucker, we're in his shop right now, big 50 by 30 shop. I'm looking around. There's fucking Star Wars pictures on the wall. This might come back to bite me in the ass. There's a Boba Fett fucking figurine on his fucking toolbox. He's standing over me with a fucking cigarette. He could burn me at any minute, but I'm going to fucking say this anyway. I posted a fucking spoiler on my Facebook, and there was a couple people.
I saw that, you dick.
I'm sure, yeah, everybody fucking saw it, because my fucking own father decided to unfriend me on Facebook, and my own mother unfollowed me on Facebook.
As he should.
Yeah, listen. There is so much fucking going on in the fucking world today, and when so much attention can be given to a fucking movie about space nerds, and these motherfuckers...
Yeah, I don't...
He's getting ready to kill me right now.
Nah, bro. It's about space jihadis, bro. All right? Because remember, fucking Luke was fucking...
Yeah, Luke was fucking... Luke might as well have been fucking Taliban.
He got picked up by Yoda. And fucking been, you know, and all the... Oh, my God.
That is why in today's Star Wars, the First Order is the fucking awesome shit.
Yeah, we are the First Order. We're fucking Star Wars.
Exactly.
Here's your orders. Go murder. Raj. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look,
the only
you
thing
want
I can say, personally myself, I don't think I could kill my dad to prove a point about how petty of a teenager I was.
Justin, we've already went over this. You suffer from the Oedipus complex like a motherfucker. So let's we can discuss that on fucking tomorrow's show.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say.
I've tried a couple times.
Kill
man.
Your dad to prove a point.
Yeah, I just never could figure out how to make it
look
like an accident.
I was five minutes out of
fucking. I don't
think
it would be that hard for me. My dad is a broken down fucking man who's fucking, you know, just slumming it around from house to house and shit. Like, I don't give a fuck.
We're all good now, but back when I was like seven, we had some real tension.
When I was seven, I'll fuck you up, old man.
I'll scissor kick you in
queer?
The back of the
is
head.
This, yeah. Is this queer? Is this queer?
Exactly.
Five minutes.
Ha-ha funny, not ha-ha queer.
Five minutes out of basic training, and I literally was standing in my front yard like, come on, old man, let me show you what I learned. And I'll tell you what, he beat the fucking shit out of me.
Yeah, Army combatant isn't anything. It's fucking bullshit.
Yeah, let me, that warrior shit, you fucking learn.
No, that's not the position you're supposed to do. Why are you punching me in the face?
Let me tell you about my old man.
Let me grab your dick. Hold on. Let me grab your dick.
I can't do my duties like this.
My dad.
Yeah.
Check this out. My dad started in the California Department of Corrections in 1979 death row.
Left and right.
Oh, yeah, that's bad. That's bad times right there calling that out.
I mean, I've got fucking pictures of him. Well, I can't say his name, obviously. If anybody's listening, you can go fuck yourselves if you try to rat me out on this. But I got pictures of certain COs holding certain inmates, high-profile inmates, upside down with their fucking heads in a toilet, giving them fucking swirlies and shit, because that's how they rolled back
in
the day.
That's awesome. That's fucking awesome, though.
One of those inmates would be Eddie Ramirez, also known as the West Side Strangler.
That'd
be awesome. Also, funny story about Charles Manson. So my dad, he started on the row, and brand new uniform, brand new boots, straight out of the fucking academy. And back then, it was called Gladiator School. I mean, they would get out of the academy, and they would go right to work. I mean, the next day. And so he gets a cell change order.
How big his training
used to be. Mm-hmm. He gets a cell change order, and he walks up on the row, and he says, he walks up to this fucking Sally Port, walks through the Sally Port, walks up to the gate, and he yells out this inmate CDC number, and he... All of a sudden, this guy comes out of the shadows. Now, keep in mind, my old man's fresh off the farm. Never left Iowa. Well, he went to Korea for a couple years when he was in the Air Force. Straight out of there, comes home. So he doesn't really know much, doesn't really know much about what's going on in the fucking world. So he yells out this inmate CDC number, and this guy comes out of the shadows, and it's fucking Charles Manson. And he's got a fresh fucking swastika carved in his fucking forehead. And he walks up to the fucking Sally Port, to the gate, and he says, yeah, we got a cell change. We're moving you here in about 20 minutes. And Manson, true as I'm sitting here, my fucking old man looks at me and he says, Charles Manson looked down at my name tag, and he looked up at me and he says, Nuring, is that German? And he says, yeah. He says, you from the Midwest? And he says, yeah. And true to form, he says, fucking Hitler should have killed all those Jews when he had the chance. And he turns around, and he says, I'll be ready in about 10 minutes. And he turned around. So my dad says, as he's walking away, he says, I knew two things. One, Charles Manson knew my fucking name. And two, I wasn't going to fucking shit for a month. He said, the fucking power of that cocksucker looking in his fucking eyes. The motherfucker has no color in his eyes. Just straight black.
Right.
Just pure
his
fucking
evil. Right. I look at that guy and I get fucking tingles, man. I'm like, that fucker, you'd need to pull a bullet in that dude's head. That's the end of it.
Well, you know, so the old man told me that a couple years after that, in the 80s, they actually changed the way the CDC guards him. They put guards, instead of having 12-hour shifts, they have 3-hour shifts, and they switch out. Because in 1985, Manson actually talked a guard out of his fucking keys and actually made it out of his fucking cell.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't be able to just blend into society, though.
Well, that's the thing with sociopaths, man. They understand how to fucking manipulate people. They really do. They get you talking,
well,
get
fuck,
you interested,
Manson
get you fucking going.
Manson got all those fucking people to kill for him. I mean, he never once
actually
put
a master. Yeah, he was a master manipulator is what he was. He understood how to fucking, talk to people. That was his thing. Like, he could fucking manipulate with the best of them. So he was up there with Hitler with manipulation ability. Just think of all the shit Hitler fucking manipulated, bro. Fucking insane.
Oh, no.
public speaking, it's amazing what that'll do if you do it right. It's amazing
there's definitely something to be said for force of will.
Being
able to basically force your will on other, I mean, that's not many people have it, and unfortunately, the ones that do most of the time are crazy as shit.
Well, yeah, that's how it usually goes. Hitler, you think that guy was fucking mentally sane?
Probably not. That's not one of the things. Hitler was a good guy, had his shit together.
Oh, yeah, man, he was straight edge. He never did drugs or anything.
Yeah, exactly. Straight down the line. You know, by the rules.
Fucking
Hitler,
nice edge right there.
Him.
Yeah.
hey, guys, hold on. I'm gonna bring somebody else on here real quick. Give me just a second. I believe this is Mr. Boone Cutler. Boone, are you with us?
Yes.
Oh, Boone.
Hey, guys, man, this is kind of interesting. I'm just sitting back. I want to hear more about your perspective on Hitler. Manson. This is fantastic. I mean, they've actually got me intrigued here. I'm going to sit the fuck back and enjoy this show. But thanks for bringing me in. It's interesting.
We're gonna solve
you're talking about the Manson thing. Let me tell you what that dynamic is. The dynamic is you have a scary person, and even by evidence of what your father said, you have a scary person. And so when a scary person makes you their friend, the person who is the friend, who's not the scary person, will do anything to maintain that friendship. Because they don't want that person to be scary to them anymore. And when that person's not scary to them anymore, they have a sense of power. That's how they empower you.
It's so true. All right, like, I was in fucking jail when I was 16. Like, I got picked up for fucking possession of fucking paraphernalia and shit like this. So I went to fucking big boy jail, of course, in Fort Bend, fucking Texas. And I got put in fucking open cells and shit. So I had, like, fucking 30 dudes in there and shit. This fucking huge-ass motherfucker comes up to me. He goes, "You gonna fucking eat that fucking food?" And I was like, "Nah, bro, all you." So I buddied up with this guy because I'm just some fucking freckle-faced, red-headed, stupid fucking jail. Just easily rapeable, whatever, and everything. So I just fucking sit there, and I'm like just palling down with this fucking giant of a fucking man.
Wait.
Is that on your J-Date profile, easily rapeable?
Easily rapeable, yeah. You know, that's my hook line right there. I always get laid. You know, I just keep saying no, and they get more into it. It's weird.
No, stop it.
Hold up. We have Boone here now. This brings up a good question. In jail, who's more likely to be raped based on attractiveness?
Is there
Boone
or
any one of us?
You're a good-looking man. I'm sorry.
Out of you guys, which one is most easily rapeable
based on attractiveness?
Well,
you're asking
me to be very – that's a very revealing question. Why do you want to know if I think you're attractive?
Guys, that's a little too much information for me.
It's all Justin. Justin's the hot one.
Yeah.
And thanks for assuming I would know what guys in prison find attractive. That's very very kind of you. Very kind of you.
I don't think he was trying to do it out of that. I think he was just saying that, you know,
my first flash was Kyle's big lips. That was my first flash when you said that.
So your vote is Kyle is more rapeable
don't know if he'd be rapeable, but I'm pretty sure he'd be popular.
So are you trying to say he has pretty lips?
He's got pretty luscious lips.
So you're saying
he
has a pretty mouth then, right?
I have a beautiful mouth.
I didn't say that, but your interpretation is very interesting to me.
I just wanted to know if that's what you're saying there.
I'm not going to say too much, but let's just say that if Kyle's lips had a bunch of mustard on them, I would clean it off.
I've spent time in foxholes with guys before. We didn't have these kind of conversations.
Hey,
you know,
hold on. Listen.
What I was trying to imply was the power of that whole I'm fucking scared of this person you know, and I'm the weaker, less fucking dominant male in this situation, all right? And I'm opened up with all these fucking dudes. I don't know what any of these guys are in here for, you know what I mean? And I'm some dumb 16-year-old kid, and I'm 5'4" at the time, like I'm 6 foot now. I went through growth spurts at 17 in basic. That fucking sucked. Anyway. But, you know, I'm just this fucking dumb young kid in fucking jail, and I'm like, holy fuck, I'm in a world I have no understanding of.
I know how you feel, man. I know, I feel your pain, man. I went to the Scared Straight program out in Vegas when I was a teenager, and they take you to the penitentiary, Indian Springs Prison. And, yeah. I know what you mean.
I was in jail in
South Carolina, and that was, it was one night, and, it's funny you should mention this because there was a kid. I mean, a kid. He looked like he was 14 years old, and he was in there. And he was seriously, he was just scared. You just saw the fear on that guy, you know. And, like, they came by, and they're giving everybody breakfast. You know, they slide the trays underneath the jail cell. That's how they were doing it to us, like in a little cell. They're sliding the trays under. And this kid's got no food, and I could tell he's afraid to get it, you know. And so I just walked over, and I gave him the food. And then I just left it because he was just afraid. I was trying to be a good guy, and I just trying to be a good guy, you know, nothing more than that. And
he thought you were trying to rape him. He said, yeah, I got a pretty mouth. Yeah. Don't hurt me.
Yeah. No, I don't think it was just interesting to watch the whole dynamic because there was a power dynamic because at one point in time I was cold and, you know.
Well, we're fucking animals when it comes down to it.
Oh, we are. We are. I mean, I had to take a piss. And a whole bunch of guys were hanging out by the pisser, and I'm thinking, how the fuck am I going to get over there and take a piss and maintain my dignity as a man? And so, and at some point, you just got to go, you know? So I walked
yep,
over.
Dude,
and I'm
I
like,
still
okay,
have
I
problems
could,
pissing
could,
in front of people since that. I like
well,
whenever
no,
we
I mean, they were sitting
drugs,
around. They were like sitting on it and around it, like they were going to own that piece of property. And so I kind of, yeah. I figured, okay, because I'm thinking all the movies, right? I'm thinking all the
this
movies, and I'm thinking, okay. How am I exactly? That was the thing worth value in there, so they were coveting it. And so I'm thinking, you know, at some point in time, I'm either going to piss my pants, which is not going to go over well in jail, I'm pretty sure, or I've got to go over there and tell those guys, get the fuck away from that pisser because I'm going to piss right now. But I handled my situation, and I didn't piss myself. But there's just that dynamic about how people will covet something, something of value that would never have any value anywhere else. Never. Who would
right.
ever want to sit on a fucking toilet somewhere else because it's valuable? Never.
Yeah, it's like the difference between a caged animal and a free animal. Totally two different fucking mindsets you'll see going on in there. Especially with, like, monkeys and shit like that. You'll see one. This is my fucking tire swing, motherfucker. I will fuck up anybody who touches my tire swing. You know, it's fucking crazy.
There is always a hierarchy. Crazy. There is always a pecking order. And that's why there
oh,
will never
right.
be peace.
That's right. There will always be violence.
Yep.
Because it's in our fucking nature.
So, hey, real quick, guys, I want to bring something up real quick. Before I forget, I want to pass it on to all the fucking listeners. This show, well, tomorrow's show, because this is just a kind of a special little bullshit session, tomorrow's night show will be the last show on the Blog Talk Network. I will be, the show will be combining with the Veteran Radio Syndicate Network run by Mr. Dan Peterson, formerly of Disgruntled Veterans. We're starting our own network. We're going to have 11 shows throughout the week, and I'm going to be on a show with Dan, and then we'll continue to do the Section 8 Power Hour, still sponsored by Bravo, and we've got a couple big sponsors, a couple big firearm sponsors that we're going to have, and we're going to really blow it out of the water. And it's actually going to be on Clear Channel 1 Radio, so we'll be going onward and upward. But it's going to be fun. I'm excited, and I'm actually mostly excited about having my own fucking producer, so I don't have to run the fucking computer and try to fucking participate in the show. So I'll actually get to bullshit a little bit more.
Ron, bro, congrats.
That's awesome.
Congratulations.
Do we find it by the same phone number? Or?
I have to say, and you guys can talk shit about it all you want to, but I really owe it to Boone. You know, I've been a follower of Boone since I first discovered him, and the amount of truth and realism that is in everything that he says. That's what really got me into doing the show and doing the podcast and my work in the Vigilant Guard and my work in the veteran community. So Boone, while I've got you on the phone, brother, I mean, I owe this to you. Any success that I get, I mean, I owe to you for sparking that idea and just your continued support and your continued work in the veteran community. It just means more to me than I can possibly say. So before we start getting all homoerotic in here, I just want to say I love you, brother, and thank you so much.
Hey, you know what, Kyle? Thank you for saying that, man. It's really interesting. I hope you don't mind if I freestyle a little bit. There's give me a little bit of time here, because I'm going to tell you something why that is important today, not just between us, but with the community. Literally, before I got on the phone with you tonight, the reason I was late, this is, swear to God, it's the truth. The reason I was late is because I was on the phone with Soldier Heart. And the reason I was on the phone with Soldier Heart is because I'm about to lose my fucking shit tonight, and I can't afford to fucking wreck another vehicle. And so I figured I'd better reach out and talk to somebody. And the reason that happened, here's why that happened. I'm sitting here, I'm trying to promote my show for Saturday, and I've got this event thing going on, and some guy jumps on there, and I got nothing against the guy. He says he hasn't gotten his T-shirt. Well, and admittedly, he should have gotten it. Anyway, he's bitching at me he doesn't have his T-shirt. So I fire back at him and say, hey, some funny shit, and it was kind of a joke, so on and so forth. And then some chick jumps in and goes, and calls me a douchebag, okay, because how dare I talk to a combat veteran that way. Okay, now this is very fucking interesting. How dare I talk to a combat veteran that way? And this is why I really appreciate what you said tonight. There's a group of people out there who really sit on the periphery of our community, and they start seeing us as a brand. They start seeing us as a brand. It's something that just exists and is not a person. They don't realize that there's been a lot of fucking work that went from, my first day at Walter Reed 2 years later when I got out, and then when I started all this stuff, Spartan Pledge and everything else. There's a lot of fucking work that happens there, a lot. And it's like people just think I sprung up from the fucking ground as a brand. Well, that's not true. I'm a fucking human being. I worked my fucking ass off. I'm a combat veteran, too. I'm 100% disabled. And all this started because I love this community. And if you Soldier Heart and I met, we met half a decade ago or better, and we started doing a lot of stuff together back then, and the words warfighter community didn't exist before then. Well, there's a lot of folks out here doing stuff right now, the 22, 23 a day, so on and so forth. People don't even know it used to be 18. There's a lot of people don't know that number has increased since a few of us started this whole thing. And so there were just very few guys 5, 6, 7 years ago, very, very few. And now there's a lot. And I question sometimes, and you gave me a little bit of faith tonight, Kyle, I question sometimes if people know the road this community has been down before they got here, before they got here. Soldier was telling me he was at a concert, and he went over to get a drink, like off of a concession table, and the lady stopped him and said, oh, wait, don't take that. That's for the veterans. As if he wasn't one of us. People treat me like I'm not one of the community because I'm a brand. That's totally fucking out of line. It's not true. And I hope nobody gets that impression. So, Kyle, what you said tonight, really, man, truly, truly infused me it inspired me. You inspired me. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate it. And you know what? That's what you're saying right now is kind of the reason why I went on. I kind of got off of my original track of trying to. Well, let me back up. I had a conversation with Doc Steele, Landon Steele, for those of you who don't know him, in a bar a couple weeks ago. We're drinking, having a few, and we had a conversation with John Burke, who Army Soldier of the Year, fitness guru, whatever. Kind of like us and Boone, we just try to do what we can in the community. And we had this idea that we wanted to bring everybody together because, with the veteran community the way it is, there's so much division in it right now, and it's in cliques. And when I originally went to the Dysfunctional Veterans and I tried to kind of parlay a deal sort of a meeting of minds, if you will. And I was met with so much resistance that it really drove me up the wall. And a couple of weeks ago on a post on the DV website, we had a combat veteran. Well, he said he was a combat veteran. I witnessed him telling two other combat veterans to suck start a shotgun because he believed that they were pogues, because they were fobbits, as it were. And I went off, and I started World War III with the dysfunctional veteran. And it absolutely fucking infuriates me when I'm out in public and I talk to a veteran, and all I hear is, I tried to add somebody to the Vigilant Guard the other day. I met him at the mall. I stopped and talked to him. I saw his grunt style shirt, and his wife looks at me and she says, "Is that one of those DV pages?" And I said, you know, inside my mind, and I'm Boone, I'm sure you can appreciate this. In my mind, it was fucking Hiroshima. A fucking atom bomb went off. All I wanted to do was fucking explode and level this entire fucking mall. But on the outside, I was like, no, ma'am, we are not part of dysfunctional veterans. This is part of something completely different. And when I tried to broker the peace with a couple of the higher-ups, and they have had a mass exodus over the last 3 weeks since I started this. They went from 500,000 down to 418,000, and a couple of their bigger guys, and Dan, who was DV Dan, who ran their radio show, he actually stepped down and ended his portion of the radio show because of the show that Boone, myself, Vincent Vargas, Article 15, John Burke, Landon Steele, Eric the Nigerian Kirsch, because of that show, we caused a mass exodus. And I think that that's what it needed because, as I'm sure Boone and all the other guys will attest to, this industry is so porous, it's not even funny. And there's so many people, you know, getting back, going to the 22 until none. You know, like Landon said during the show, that the time for awareness is over. Now is the time for action. And 22 until none is such a 22 is such a basic number. Only 27 states in the United States actually report veteran suicide. And that 22 a day is based off that 27 states. So if you really wanted to get into it, if you doubled that number that all 50 states were putting out there, the number's more like in the 40s. And then you're not even calculating the vets that die on the street because there's 500,000 homeless veterans right now. As we're on this show celebrating New Year's Eve, we're barbecuing, we're cooking, we're hanging out with our families. Right now, at this very moment, there are 500,000 fucking veterans that are homeless on the street freezing their fucking asses off. And we got cocksuckers like these motherfuckers in DV, and not all of them are bad, but we've got these cocksuckers like DV who are telling veterans to go suck start shotgun. And we're not we're not taking into effect the veterans who are self-medicating. They're dying from pills being fucked up by the VA. Alcohol overdose.
We're 3 to 4 times higher. We have a 3 to 4 times higher mortality rate in single car vehicle accidents, meaning you're the only car involved in the accident. What the fuck does that mean? It means somebody said fuck it and put their car into a pylon.
Absolutely.
That's a suicide. That's what I'm saying.
And that's what drives me. I mean, my work in different organizations, I've gotten burned out. And that's why I took 3 weeks off from the show, because for every fucking veteran that you help, there are three that come out to be either Stolen Valor, and big shout out to Anthony Anderson and the guys over at Stolen Valor. I love their work, and I continue to fucking feed them with these guys. Or most of them end up being Stolen Valor or some fucking can't hack it, stealing a line from the Sandlot, can't hack it, panty waist that wears their mama's fucking bra that fucking needs somebody's fucking attention because they want to be some little fucking lying cunt and fucking talk about all this shit that fucking happened.
The most common Stolen Valor I see is dudes in our own fucking community who are just like, yo, I was fucking there, I fucking did this, I did that. Turns out asshole was a fucking cook and actually got kicked out of the military.
Hey, there's an interesting fact. There's never been a cook that survived Vietnam.
Yeah. No shit.
So that's why I've always said, if someone in a bar is like, yeah, I was in the Army, but I was a fucking cook, I'm buying that motherfucker a beer right now.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm buying that dude a beer. If you
I was a carpentry matrix specialist.
Yeah,
as far as I know about the Vietnam War, everybody was doing cross-border ops in Cambodia. Nobody was a cook, though.
If the special operations community makes up 3% of the fucking military, then how come every fucking VFW that I walk into, every guy that I talk to is either a fucking LERP, a fucking operator, a fucking Green Beret, a fucking Navy SEAL, Army fucking Ranger?
You want to know why that is? I will tell you exactly why that is. It's fucking shame, all right? Because here's the thing. Like, all right, you never went out and did the job, but you fucking know all the death, chaos, and all the fucking over-romanticized bullshit that we fucking have to deal with. You know, it's over Hollywood. It's over all this fucking shit, you know. And they go, man, you know, I never actually fucking went there and like really served is how they feel. You know, it's like, yeah, you know, you were there and you were a fucking supply guy or you refueled helicopters or whatever you did. But you know what you did? You actually fucking supported the war effort. And that is a noble thing. That is a fantastic noble thing. You know, I will buy you a fucking drink. You want to know why? I was a fucking grunt. You know, I went there, kicked doors, and, you know, and I did that in Iraq and Afghanistan. I had to fucking work with MPs, so I've dealt with the whole co-ed fucking females in the fucking combat MOS fucking deal. And let's not even get into that because that's just fucking beyond belief. But, you know, it always comes down to the shame of the person, all right? And even if they never served, these people who fucking pretend that they're fucking ex-Delta, ex-fucking any of these fucking cool guy, fucking super shooter, fucking hoo-hoo bullshit – it always comes down to shame, all right? These people have done terrible things in their life or never amounted to anything, and they're fucking slightly off in the head, and they're like, you know what, maybe I'll just tell people I am, you know? Because it's that respect that I never got. It's that fucking – it's that longing to be somebody or something. And the military has always been that sort of thing, the glory, the guts, the power, the fucking again, the romanticism of it all, you know, it always comes down to that. It's fucking shame, you know. It's over glorified for a lot of things that we do, and it's under glorified for a lot of things that we do. It's always comes down to the shame of the person.
The soldier, the concept of the soldier, the identity of the soldier, is built into each one of us, built into every man when they're born. Doesn't matter what country they're from, doesn't matter where they're at. They have a concept of a soldier. That's an archetype, okay? And if a Jungian archetype. So when you look at a person and they start doing all this crazy stuff, the reason they do it is because the reason that archetype exists is so they can associate what bravery and being a badass is. You take anybody, you take fucking Martin Luther King, you take Gandhi. When that dude is dreaming at night, he's thinking about being a badass. He's not thinking about nonviolence. He's thinking about fucking people up, okay? It's built inside of each of us. And if you're absolutely right. If someone is deficient in that area, they're going to draw from what they know, and it's just an archetype in the brain. Because I don't care who you are. I always said there's always going to be a pecking order. There will never be peace. There will always be a person who wants to be a badass. Doesn't matter who they are. They want to fuck long, and they want to fight hard. That's what men are all about.
I want to bring this up real quick. I'm sitting next to a man, Purple Heart recipient, one of my heroes. He's got to be one of the most humblest motherfuckers I've ever met in my fucking life. And I've never, ever once heard him fucking romanticize anything having to do with his ordeal, other than the fact that he displayed his disgust when they made him fucking come home when he wanted to stay with his fucking unit after he was fucking wounded in the fucking helicopter.
Fact, I know that exact thing.
Last night,
I know it.
Last night, I had a conversation with Chief Allison Shannon, good dude, good friend of mine, who is on the line right now. And Shannon brought up something very fucking, you know, when you get down to the core of the fucking warfighter. Shannon was talking about his very first Master Chief that he encountered in the fucking Navy. Shannon, you want to fucking give us the fucking... Tell them what you were telling me about the fucking Master Chief last night.
Hey, before you get started, guys, I really appreciate you for your time. I got to get to some festivities for tonight, but hey, thanks for having me on the show. It looks like you got this handled, man. You don't need me. I'm just messing with you. I appreciate your time, brother. Thanks for the airtime, man. Hey, you guys, thanks for doing a great job. God bless you, and let's have a great 2016, really.
Well, yeah, let's hope you show up on Star Park.
Cheers.
All the way. Out here.
See ya. All right, Shannon, are you there?
Yeah, so exactly what you want me to tell you about Master Chief. Basically, what I'd done is I'd gone through boot. I went through boot in 85 in Orlando, Florida, went through my school. I started my career out in the boats. Went through sub-school, Groton, Connecticut. And I hit my first boat, which was the USS Alaska SSBN 732, which is a Trident submarine, carried the big missiles. Master Chief had 32 years in the Navy. I was a 19-year-old, not a boy. You all know the story. And Master Chief sat me down, looked at my service record. It was like a 16th of an inch thick at that point. And, you know, flat out, he just decided he didn't want to have to raise another kid in the Nav. And, you know, I got to know Master Chief before he retired from the Navy. And, you know, it's funny because man left such an impression that here we are, you know, 85 was a long time ago, and I remember the first time I looked at that man, and that was the impression that he left on me. And so through my career and as a civilian, that's the kind of impression that I try to leave on people, is to emulate the leadership and self-confidence that Master Chief brought to the table every day that I knew that man, every deployment that we made. And pretty incredible guy.
Yeah. I mean, when you have a solid pole for leadership to look up to, someone who you idolize, it really gives you a point to look to, you know what I mean? And that's always a guiding straight rod, you know. That's an important thing. I lost my guiding rod, the best leader I've ever seen. He took his own life, and that was extremely unfortunate. And
sorry to hear that.
It's one of the it hurts to this day. I really truly respected that man to the core. He was a Marine first, infantry, and then he went to the Army and continued on with his career. And demons got the best of him. But I still look at that man. And I emulate him because of who he was as a person, and it was fantastic. He was always big smile on his face, and he always knew how to fucking make everything better, honestly. And he taught me so much just from conversations alone, you know.
So I kind of want to ask you boys a question, because it's funny the difference in time. When I was, you know, fresh out of boot, in the fleet, even by the time that I'd made E5, we were still getting food thrown at us. It was nothing to get spit on at an airport, and being in the military was not a cool place to be. It wasn't a bad place to be, but it was definitely not a cool place to be, and we'd never heard of anything like stolen valor. So, you know, now that I'm out, and, you know, I'm glad that, believe you me, I'm glad that you boys get the recognition and the love and respect from our country that you receive today. But what was that change? Because that's what I haven't been able to figure out is I remember driving on base and having them people throwing food at us and calling us baby killers. And it was horrible up at Bangor, Washington. It was terrible in the 80s. You never knew when you was going to get egged. Whereas today, you know, you go to YouTube and Facebook, and there's all this stolen valor, and it's like, my Lord. I mean,
yeah,
I don't
every day with a Vietnam vet.
What's that?
And I chill all the time with my roommate, who I served with, and he has Purple Heart and so on and so forth, with his grandfather, who was a Vietnam Vietnam veteran, flew in helicopters and everything all the time. He was a crew chief. And just the shit we talk about and the stories I hear from what these poor fucking dudes had to deal with and everything today. And then when I see fucking dudes bitching online about fucking little shit here and there, it's like, you can go out and be like, look, I have pride in what I did and blah, 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 without fucking facing, you know, the fucking wrath of the public and all this sort of fucking shit. It's like you don't really value it as much as, you know, these poor fucking bastards who had to, who actually stood up and served when they didn't have to in Vietnam for a lot of them. And then all the fucking asshole draft dodgers who fucking took off and then got fucking, you know, like, oh, no problem. Y'all can come back in. You know, I mean, I get it. Y'all didn't want to do Vietnam and shit. And just basically amnesty, like, fuck those dudes and cowards and shit. Like, I just, I fucking, it wrenches my guts when I see dudes like, oh, but I'm a fucking veteran. I fucking deserve shit. It's like, shut the fuck up, you piece of shit. You know? You know, I fucking thank you for your service, but I'm sorry, your fucking mindset is totally, totally fucking out there. You're fucking insane for just thinking you deserve shit for being a veteran. You know, a lot of us work for it. Many of us didn't fucking come home. A lot of us don't go home at the end of the day because we decide to fucking end it, you know. You're fucking sitting here on your fucking high horse. Like, there's people going through way worse shit, even in veterans, you know. You go to fucking Africa where fucking, you know, girls are getting fucking mutilated just for having fucking a vagina, you know. It's there's just so much fucking, I can't even put it into words because it flusters me so much. It's just this I don't know what it is with this recent generation that I'm in. It's just like, we fucking deserve things, you know. You look dudes back in World War II.
Oh, I hear that 100%, man.
You know,
I mean, doesn't that take away from the whole idea of, that's the thing, that's one of the things that separates us, that it's all volunteer. I mean, I went in on my own accord because I knew, for one, all the men in my family, we serve. That's just, we have, our family goes back to the Revolutionary War serving for our country. That's something that, you know, our family takes great pride in. We're always somebody in the service.
That is an awesome fucking thing. You know, I would say thank you to each family member I could, you know, because that
absolutely.
Is a fucking
fantastic. But here's the
thing
is going in, my father was Navy like I was, and I grew up with his separation, good conduct certification, and a DD-214. And just his good conduct ribbon on the wall. That was his I Love Me wall, was just that. My father was a decorated naval man.
Right.
And the whole thing, the lesson that Father taught us was the humbleness of, you know, it was not until after I was in the service and I had started earning my awards that are presented to us, as, you know, with our time in service that we're going to get, until I started learning more about what my father had done for our nation. And, you know, my father, like so many other fathers, you know, but like, you walk in our house and there's no I Love Me wall. There's nothing in my house that's going to tell you of what my service was, whether it was this or that. But we never went into it expecting something in return other than having to be able to look myself in the mirror and say, I served my nation.
Right, and, exactly.
And these things you hear these kids, well, I want, I need, and it's like, holy shit, man. You missed the major point of what it is outside of protecting the Constitution. You missed the point of what it is to serve.
The honor, the opportunity, you know.
Absolutely, yes, sir.
The list goes on and on, right on, you know. You're like me, I got arthritis, I got back pains, I got all this short shit, but I'm not going in to get a fucking, you know, disability or anything, because I know there's fucking dudes out there with missing legs who are getting fucking screwed by the VA, you know. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because I don't want to take away from them or fucking any, you know, opportunity for them to get a fucking date into the VA, you know, to be able to get their shit squared away or anything, you know. Like, yeah, I'm in fucking pain, but I'm 24. I can still fucking deal with it for quite a while, you know. It's fucking.
But, well,
I love.
Don't wait till you're twice that age and still feel.
Yeah, that's the truth right there. You end up getting real cortisone,
you know,
shots,
I mean,
in different places.
Yeah, man. Like, I've had, here's how fucking crazy, like, the whole medical aspect of, like, remember the military news. I'm sure a lot of y'all have dealt with this shit. All right, so I went to Iraq in 2009, 2010. As a 18-year-old, I mean, I just turned fucking 18. Yeah, I went to basic at 17 and everything. And I'm running around with a fucking saw gun and everything. One of our fob dogs bit me. So on a survey after coming back, you know, and it was like late 2010, I come back. I write, yeah, I fucking dealt with the local fucking animals and stuff like that. Yeah, I got fucking bit. A year after that, they fucking contact me, and I have to go get rabies shots. And this is 2 years down the fucking road. I would have had rabies already, you fucking dumb motherfuckers, all right? Just leave me the fuck alone. I still had to go in and get the goddamn shots.
That's awesome.
Sucked. Like, who does that happen to? It happens to me because I'm a redhead. It's my fucking luck.
Oh, that's what it was.
What branch?
U.S. Army.
Outstanding. Outstanding.
Right? Fantastic. Nation's best right there.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it is.
My brother was an Army medic. My younger brother.
Right on.
So he loved the Army.
Yeah. I have a love-hate for it, honestly.
Oh, yeah. We all
do. I hate
you. You know, I do for the Navy. The Navy was good for me. I've been around the world 3 times. I've done a lot of shit. A lot of shit you're never going to get to even think about doing as a civilian unless you're really rich, which, you know, I train and show horses for a living, so we ain't really rich. You know,
hey, boys. But that's fucking awesome, though. You know, that's something to hold a lot of fucking pride in because, you know, training a horse, that's not something people can do these days. You know, you go back 200 years ago, that was everyday shit. You know, I got to get my fucking horse ready to fucking pull my ass to fucking town and all this sort of shit, breaking in horses, doing it the old ways and everything being fucking actually built on your own fucking sweat.
So, Kyle,
hey,
hasn't told you.
Guys, hold on just a second.
He didn't show that picture I sent him of the bronc I'm putting him on. He got to run in his mouth about what a cowboy he is,
yeah,
and
yeah.
I heard his story. I'm kind of a don't tell me, show me kind of school. That's the school I come from.
Is he going to back out?
Kyle spur the hair out of their ears, and so I sent him a picture.
Hey, hold on, guys. Doc, are you there? Hold on, guys. Trying to call.
Who's coming up?
Calling Doc Steele.
Oh, fucking that hipster.
No, that's going down the toilet now. We're going to be right back on prison rate.
So anyways, while he's calling Doc, I've got Kyle's coming out to my place tomorrow.
I'm sorry, the person you are trying to reach has a voicemail box that has not been set up yet. Please try your call again later.
The reason Doc Steele's voicemail isn't set up so he doesn't have all these fucking crazy 40-year-old broads trying to fucking get laid. That poor fucking dude. He takes one cool guy photo and blows up fucking everywhere. Are you going to take my daughter out on a date? I'll fucking kill you. Oh, fucking badge of honor. Oh, I fucking serve. Fucking eat my balls. Fucking.
Did you guys see the one where the militia is using him as a recruiting poster?
Oh, dude, I was right there in that thread. I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Horrible.
Oh,
that was horrible.
Poor Doc.
You have to sue them or burn their compound down or something.
Oh, my God. You know,
militia was it?
It was some nationwide thing. Like, their whole thing about this was contact us so we could spread the militia. So it's legit, bro. Okay, NSA, good job.
If you want to be bad like this guy, call us.
Thanks,
Obama.
Doesn't
have anything.
Hey, this is Doc Steele.
What's up,
hey,
asshole?
Hey, you fucking hipster.
What's up, man?
Oh my God! Hang on. Stand on. Like I gotta get to a place where I can actually hear what the fuck, like fuckery is going on. Where am I? Who am I talking to?
You're on the fucking Section 8 Power Hour, dickhead.
Hey, go fuck yourself, motherfucker. What's up?
What's up, brother?
Hey, Scott says you're a cunt.
I'm always a cunt. Like, so what's new?
Oh, okay. Well, as long as that's known.
Yeah. Figure we give you a call.
It's Zach Hour, bro. Beard the fuck out.
So, hey, no, seriously, like, who am I on with?
It's the fucking preacher, dickhead.
Well, I know you're dumbass. Okay, all right, Zach. All right, gotcha. All right, Zach's on, like, I know fucking, like, preacher's on. All right, what's up?
We're down to, hey, listen. We're down to 60 seconds. Doc, I just want to call and say Happy New Year, you fucking asshole. All you other guys, you guys are more than welcome to come on tomorrow's show. We're going to be doing it same time, but for 2 hours. Tonight's only an hour long. We're going to finish up here in about 40 fucking seconds.
Is it the same phone number?
Same phone number. We'll be on tomorrow. Watch out for the link and the start time and all that good shit. And,
what time?
And I'm going to be posting videos of Kyle on a horse tomorrow, so y'all.
I haven't
see that.
I haven't fucked a goat yet. I haven't fucked a goat yet, but, like, the night is young, bitches, and it's a new year, so Doc Steele is probably going to have some material for tomorrow night. The FBI, like, ATF, farm animal agencies, like, might be looking for me, but we'll see what happens.
Right on.
Say good night, boys.
Keep your fucking rat
We're done.
Tight.
All right.
What time?
Guys.
Tomorrow night's going to be at 9 o'clock, so right,
cool.
2300 Eastern, 2000 Pacific.
All right, man. See y'all tomorrow night.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow.
All right, see you
later.
Guys.
Peace.
Later.